Yes.
Bob?
Excused. He's, I haven't heard from him, but he was planning on being here, so we'll just go with that.
Eric?
Here.
Kurt?
Excused.
Jay?
Here.
Mark?
Here.
Cindy?
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. Two assembly members are missing today. It's now time for the voluntary Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, next item on the agenda this evening is approval of minutes, and we need a motion for approval of the minutes from the February 1st, 2016 regular meeting.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Jay, seconded by Nancy, to approve the minutes of February 1st. Any changes, or seeing no hands come up, we'll consider those accepted. Is there any amendments, or do we have a motion for approval of tonight's meeting agenda?
So moved.
So moved.
Okay. Moved by Cindy, seconded by Eric to approve the meeting agenda for this evening. So seeing no changes, we'll move forward as presented. There's nothing under public hearings, no bid awards. Is there any visitors' views related to items on tonight's agenda? In the audience, come to the microphone, state your name and who you represent, please.
Thank you. My name is David Beebe. I'm representing the city of Kuprinoff, and I'd like to thank the Borough Assembly for the honor of being part of the meeting with Mr. Michael Luxion, as it related to the transfer of ownership to the Kuprinoff dock. And just would like to also thank the borough for the use of the harbor skiff in a difficult and sort of challenging situation. And it definitely provided an important sort of means of rescue, I guess, in with a boat about to collide with the dock. I'd also like to make sure that, to be clear, that the city of Kuprinoff is looking forward to the possibility of perhaps entering into a memorandum of understanding with the borough and the state as it relates to figuring out how to fund the repairs to the dock and the deferred maintenance that is badly in need of being caught up with. I'd also like to commend the Planning and Zoning Commission for entering into comments for the draft environmental impact statement for the Tongass land resource management plan. And I have to commend them on their approach to making sure that everyone understands the importance of maintaining a viable opportunity for local small mills to have access to the timber that they need. I think it's a very positive aspect of a local representation of the timber industry that can be very important to sort of diversifying the local economy, as well as understanding the absolute importance of making sure that the old growth habitat of our island returns to its former state. And that would require a definite revisioning of the way the Tongass has been used in the past, and hopefully we can restore what was once, you know, pretty much regionally recognized trophy deer hunting habitat. And also, if I may slip in a little plug for the city of Kuprinoff's 40th anniversary, which will be occurring during the Mayfest celebrations on May 14th. The city of Kuprinoff will be providing transportation to and from our dock, and there's games and prizes and lots of fun activities that will be available, along with scheduled hikes to both the creek. There's been quite a few upgrades to the city trail system, and of course Petersburg Mountain. So keep our fingers crossed for the weather on that. And again, thank you very much for the opportunity to discuss the ownership of the dock.
Okay. Any questions of Dave? Okay, seeing none. Thank you, Dave. For the record, Assemblymember Lynn is with us tonight, so we have 6 out of the 7. Next, any other visitors with views related to tonight's agenda? Mike, please step forward, state your name and who you represent.
My name is Mike Bangs. I'm representing myself, and it's in regards to the issue of taking over the three facilities that the state is offering. I would encourage the assembly to wait on this, not take any action until we have the there's a lot of unanswered questions, and they aren't offering nearly enough money to fix the docks, and let alone maintain them in the future. It'd be really hard to figure out a way to fund maintenance and operation of them. So I would like to run this by the Harbor Board, get their feelings, and just wait on this until we get more questions answered. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Any other visitors in the audience tonight with views related to items on the agenda?
I'm here representing planning and zoning. If you want me to talk when you're talking about those things, or
yeah, it might be fresher in our mind. And if you want to stay, or you can do it right now.
No, it's fine. I can stay.
Why don't you just do it now?
Okay.
Could you just? You got a list. Good.
Yeah.
Basically, it's dealing with the comprehensive plan, which is on your agenda tonight for approval. And I know in your packet you had a list of amendments that we had proposed for that plan. And they're pretty straightforward. I guess the only thing I'd remind the assembly is that the planning document, or the comprehensive plan, is precisely that. It's nothing written in stone. You guys approve this document, it's a blueprint. Any element in it that you don't like in a couple years, or that the public doesn't like in a couple years, can be changed through the ordinance process. It's nothing. It's basically just an outline. Give us some direction of where we want to go. So if there's something in here that somebody has a real particular heartburn over, and I'm sure there's something in here that everybody could pick out that they have heartburn over, and that I just want to remind the community at large that everything in here is subject to change and revision by this body and by the voters if they so choose. Most of the amendments are pretty minor. It was a good process. It included a lot of public process. A lot of people participated in it. The consultants got a lot of input from it. And the other thing which might need some further explanation is and it's rather timely, it's the letter dealing with the TLUMP process. I wish our chair was here tonight, because he's a little bit more versed on these issues than I am. But to sum it up, basically what we're recommending is that the approach to at least the borough be, instead of harvesting the timber right when it reaches the exact point of maturity, which is 65 to 75 years, that would be allowed to grow a little bit longer. The point being, there's a lot of small mills in town, and the type of lump timber that will be available under this proposed plan won't be mature enough for them to do anything with that they could really make any money on. And that was the main concern that they had on that. And then also another really interesting thing stuck, I don't even know if it was a typo on the part of the Forest Service on the plan, but number three on one of the pages was an export of rural energy resources without benefit to Southeast Alaska communities. Didn't make much sense to me. I mean, why would you have a timber plan or essentially a land use plan for the forest and then put in it that you can export renewable energy resources without benefit of Southeast Alaska communities? I think they need to take a look at that. I think the priority for any resources coming out of the Tonga should obviously be to the benefit of the local communities that live here. Maybe that was just a misprint on their part, but I think that needs to be addressed. And then the other change was a question in the plan where it said cooperate with other agencies in developing 35 miles of transportation corridors during the 15 years after plan approval. But nowhere did it really define, you know, where do they come up with 35 miles and exactly which roads they're talking about. The only one I can figure out is probably the Cape Petersburg Road. So those are some of the changes and additions. And if you guys got any questions later about that letter, I'd be happy to answer them then or now.
Okay, thank you, Dave. Any questions of Dave? Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Any other visitors with views related to items on tonight's agenda? Now is the time to speak to those. Okay, seeing none. Move to the next item on the agenda, and that's visitors' views unrelated to items on today's agenda. Is there any visitors that have views unrelated to the agenda tonight? Okay, seeing none, we'll move forward. There's no board, commission, and committee reports tonight. Nothing on the consent agenda. No report of other officers besides the mayor and the manager, and that brings us to the mayor's report. So I will go through that. I've added a couple things that weren't listed on the agenda, but they're not action items. So anyway, we're seeking letters of interest. The borough is seeking letters of interest from borough residents willing to serve on the following boards, commissions until October of 2016. There are still two seats on the hospital board and one on the planning commission. So if you're interested, you could email the city, or the borough rather, or mail them to box 329, or just bring them into the borough clerk. We'll give a little report on the trip to the Alaska Municipal League. Vice Mayor Lagadakis, Assembly Member Lynn, and myself attended the AML Winter Legislative Conference in Juneau last week. It was kind of interesting. I'll go through the other items and we'll pop back to that one. Meeting with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. While in Juneau, we met with Assemblymember Lynn, council member from Kuprinoff, Dave Beebe, our lobbyist Ray Matuszewski, and Assemblymember Lagadakis and myself met with Mike Lukshin from the state, and they offered us the transfer of the three facilities within our borough, and we'll discuss that later. It's on the agenda. So, and we met with Senator Stedman and Representative Christ Tompkins, the DNR, and some people from the ferry system. So it was an interesting trip. See if I could find my notes here. Thought I added a few things. One thing I'd like to ask of the land selection committee, it sounds like they're pretty close to coming up with the land selection for the 1,300 acres or almost 1,400 acres that we're supposed to get during the borough transformation. I'd like to see if they could have that presented to the borough at the next meeting, which is March 7th, so we could address it, and then maybe we could talk to DNR again when we're in Juneau on the 15th of next month. Sounds like we're going to have to, if we want more land than the original offer, we're going to have to do that in a supplemental ask, and it'll be a legislative, have to go before the legislature. So it doesn't sound like it's undoable, but that, so that'll be another thing that the Land Selections Committee will be tasked with, is to pick up to the 9,000 acres or however many we want to throw out there of the 18,000 VUU lands that are in our borough. So with that being said, since we're on that topic, Assemblymember Lynn has expressed interest in working with the Land Selections Committee kind of as a liaison to the Assembly. So without any objection, I'd like to, of the Assembly, I'd like to appoint Bob. Are you still interested, Bob?
I am.
Okay. So at this point, maybe I'll just keep rattling on here. I'll give my perspective of the AML meetings. I think we really need to keep a close eye on funding mechanisms that the state uses to supply money to the municipalities. They're talking about reducing the revenue sharing, upping the municipality's share of the PERS liability for every 1% that goes up. Now, currently it's the 22% by the municipalities and 78% by the state. For every percent that goes up for the borough of Petersburg, that would mean $50,000 to $60,000 roughly, if I'm correct on that, Steve. So it's something we need to keep an eye on. They're also on their little spreadsheet of things they're looking at tapping into is into the raw fish tax, or is it used to be 80-20, the state would get 80, the municipalities 20, and then now it's at 50-50. That's where it's sitting right now, but they're talking about popping more of that back to the state, so that could really have an effect on us as well. Another meeting that I sat in with, and Cindy was going to be there, but she had to leave early, was with Mike Pulowski, I think is how you pronounce it, who's the head chief of staff for Senator Lisa Murkowski. And the discussion there was about the transboundary rivers. There was a lot of other interest groups in the room and people on the phone. I think it was pretty well received, our approach, and I know they're getting a little pushback from industry, you know, supporting this International Joint Commission to convene and come up with an opinion. From other, you know, industries, mining groups or whoever, and they think it's going to be, you know, trying to shut the industry down. And everybody in the room said that isn't the case. We just want to make sure we get baseline river water quality studies done of the rivers, and everybody agreed to that. And it's already taking place, but at a pretty small level. So maybe we ask for funding, more funding for that, so it could be a more involved. You know, analysis of the condition of the water as it is now, so we have some baseline to go to. And anyway, with Cindy, do you have anything to add? I'm sure we're all taking pages of notes, but what kind of stuck out in your mind that you wanted to talk about?
A lot of discussion back and forth on ferry and the importance to Southeast communities. However, when the commissioner spoke to Municipal League, I still felt like he didn't quite understand what was being said in terms of how folks felt that was an important economic generator. And AML will be sending out a letter, if they have not yet, the Sustainability Committee that I was on. And there were several points that they wanted communities and individuals to write letters to the editor and ask for a sustainable and predictable budget and a cap on the dividend, and to maintain flow of capital projects, because they're definitely economic engines for the state, and right now there's not much in the way of capital projects being proposed statewide, so that will affect contractors and communities and all kinds of things. And then when we were in the Municipal League meeting, we heard a lot of different permutations about how to address the budget situation. The take-home message is that it is serious. We do need to pay attention, and I would encourage people to contact their legislators with their ideas for what works and what isn't palatable, so that they know what we're thinking.
So, is that it?
Okay,
thank you. Bob, did you want to have something you wanted to add from your perspective?
Yeah, from my perspective, I guess I came away with a number of things. One of them is that there's probably three bills that are sitting before the legislature right now. They're aimed at fixing the entire problem over the state. All of them, I think, essentially get into the permanent fund in one way or another. And I would encourage everybody to take a look at those things that are being looked at right now. The other part of that is that essentially all the fees and a lot of the things now that the state is paying they're looking at shifting to the municipalities. And if that happens, then obviously then our costs go up significantly. And I mean, we're across the board. So Mark talked about the fisheries. They're also looking at maybe even increasing the fish tax. They were looking at all kinds of increases. They were reducing revenue sharing, just across the board. And so I'm same place kind of Cindy is. We got to have something sustainable, whatever that might be. It's like a yo-yo now, and it's really hard to plan for what we want to do in the future. And I don't think there was any trying to get a feel for what might happen. I don't even think I walked away with that not everybody's on the same page, so to speak. There's a lot of discussion and maybe concussion. I don't know what you would call it, but up there. But please, we need to pay attention to it very closely. The last one I would say is that I came away with, I didn't realize the effect that the change from a AAA bond rating in the state of Alaska to a AA bond rating, to me it was a kind of moxnix, didn't really mean anything. I did not realize the funding impact that has. It's over $40 million a year just from reducing the bond rating because of increases in interest rates, et cetera. And every time the state goes for a bond, the interest rates go up. And so the governor is sending a delegation back to see what we can do to bring that back up again. And with that, I'll stop.
Right, and it's just listening to Bob and Cindy give their perspective on the time up there. They're talking about raising alcohol tax, tobacco tax, and like Bob said, another 1% on the fish landing tax. That all 100% of that stays in the general fund, and and capping the permanent fund at $1,000. And if they do that, it actually looked like it might help reduce the budget. I think it was Senate Bill 144 is the one that Senator McGuire proposed, and she gave a pretty lengthy presentation. And so you can just get online and go through that one. So anyway, with that being said, if there's no questions of us from the rest of the assembly, we'll move to the manager's report.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. We had some warranty work done on Scow Bay number 1 generator. Started last week and continued through the weekend. Should have it back online this week. Our mechanic, Bob Zimke, is working with the 3 MTU mechanics to perform this work. So the hope is he also learns a little bit more about that generator so we can keep it up and running when necessary. It's in my report is we've mobilized to take down the Mitkoff sales building. Carl's group's a little more efficient than I wrote. Pretty much it's down and maybe a day or two left to finish up. Just as a reminder, we were going to have to do that regardless. DEC wanted that building removed and things capped, and plus the advantage of giving us some extra parking places. So we'll get that squared away when CECON's here this summer. We should be able to get some paving done in the areas that need it in that area, but we'll end up with some extra parking out of the deal. Carl's group were working in the quarry to free up some shot rock from our embankment up there for spring and summer projects. So folks see and hear that. I want to say thank you to Chris Morrison for his donation of rotary composter parts and equipment, as well as his insight on converting those concrete mixers to composters. Staff has been very appreciative of his help, giving us hints on how to use it better and be more efficient. Making the process work better. I'm not sure this is good or bad news, but our water staff was actually able to drive all the way up to Cabin Creek Reservoir to inspect the dam. This is generally not possible this time of year. There's usually 3 or 4 feet of snow on the reservoir road. So, but we were up there and able to get that to it last week. So hopefully there's enough snow for streams. We've got proposals that are due for the replacement of the baler conveyor structure. It's due on March 1st. It was recently discovered that Department of Labor is considering this to be a construction project, not a maintenance project. This possibly will add cost to the project by requiring the use of the prevailing wages and DOL filing fees. It also requires the borough to utilize the state Alaskan preference statute, which may reduce the number of bidders. So we really won't know if this will get us out of the money and we'd have to start over again or not, but we'll keep the assembly informed. Horion Associates is working on the permitting and design of an open-top container loading bulkhead at the Baylor facility. We're trying to get this permitted with the Corps by way of the national nationwide permit for government facility expansions, hoping that that'll work and gives us a little faster project time. If not, we'll have to go through the normal Corps of Engineers permit process. Motor pool staff has started assembly of the flatbed and transfer of the crane from the old power plant mechanic truck to the new cabin chassis. Kind of slowed it down a bit because the old crane mount was going to take a huge amount of labor to get it off of there. And so to reduce the overall costs, we got a new crane pedestal was ordered. And once that gets here, it'll get loaded on the new truck and then the crane attached. The old crane moved from the old truck to the new one. Our first new patrol SUV, the Explorer, has got here. It ended up being cheaper to fly Captain Hamilton to Anchorage, who drove it to Haines and got it on the ferry and took it down here, than it was to pay the normal transport route, which, interestingly enough, meant it would have had to go all the way from Anchorage to Seattle and then back to Petersburg for whatever reason. So thanks to Captain Hamilton, and it's here and in service, and we're checking out things and fixing some things that we want changed. But looks so far so good. CECON has recently talked to Carl in the group about their spring startup on the ADOT project road. Due to the weather, they plan to mobilize back to Petersburg on March 21st and restart construction on the 28th of March. Looks like the first part of the project will be some concrete pavement between Haugen Drive and the bridge. And they should be starting their public information campaign well in advance of the work, so the community should know what they're doing. But so they should be here very shortly. We had a Firefighter 1 course was scheduled to start on February 13th. We did not get any new volunteers. And we have a Emergency Trauma Technician, or ETT, course scheduled to begin on February 28th. Hopefully we had some folks that want to show up. We continue to see a shortage of volunteers in both fire and EMT areas. May result in having to kind of reevaluate our service delivery options for those two areas. We're getting critically low in volunteers in both of those areas. So working with Sandy to try to figure out some solutions. Ducky Dive, youth girls basketball, and the fitness classes continue to become the focus in programming and Parks and Rec. Donnie and his staff are right now working on the Alaska Parks and Recreation Conference, which is going to be held here in Petersburg in September, right after Southeast Conference. So we will have a busy September for lots of folks. The new tax map books for the borough assessor have been completed. This is a part of the borough formation, as well as getting our maps online. We renumbered every parcel and created a map system so we can keep track of things and then actually put them in books with the actual maps. So getting there. They're available at this point in hard copy, and I'm not sure if they're available electronic yet, but that's the goal someday, isn't it, Liz? I thought so. Thanks to Liz, she's been working on grants for the Children's Center expansion project. They are still in need of some donations and things since they found out that we have to sprinkle the whole building. So anything you can do would be helpful. Congratulations to Mindy Anderson. I think you've seen it in our other media outlets, but just wanted to also thank her. She was the winner of our Path to Prosperity Business Plan Contest. Her business, Salty Pantry Market and Deli, won a $40,000 in technical assistance to help launch her business. So if you see Mindy, number one, go to her store, and number two, tell her congratulations on everything she's accomplished. Throughout March, the library will be hosting a community art project. Teens and adults are invited to join Doris Olson in making a permanent art installation for the library's teen room. This project is a STEAM, Science, Technology, Education, Art, and Math initiative, and is made possible with grants from the Petersburg Community Foundation and the Institute for Museum and Library Services. Our long-awaited library landscaping looks like it will begin. It's tentatively scheduled to begin in April with hardscaping and rockwork in April and then planting in May. And this is in the areas out in front of the library. So hopefully that will happen as scheduled. We had property assessments will be going out the end of this month. Property owners will have 1 month to appeal their assessment, and appeal forms can be found on the borough's website or here in the borough offices. Harbor staff assisted the U.S. Coast Guard with their annual dockside exams last week. Over 50 exams were performed this trip. They'll return in May to give another round of exams. Just want to thank to Glo, her staff, the Coast Guard, and everybody involved with that to help folks out in getting these exams done. With the weather, the staff in the harbor is trying to get a jump on some of the spring maintenance items. New sacrificial faceboards in the North Harbor will install 13-yard dumpsters that have all been serviced and are back in operation. Algae treatment is getting applied on dry days to aid in the fight against green slime. And the large crane is back in service after a coupler let go last week during loading of crab gear. Harbor appreciates Jason Luer and Piston and Rudder Services, who helped with the quick fix to get that back up and running. And we shall see, but we have, upon the completion of the Middle Harbor repair project, the certificates of completion and the final invoices were sent to Uncruise Adventures for payment. Contact was made with the company's CFO, who reported he would work towards securing payment. I'm not sure we've got a commitment to pay what we sent them as far as a bill, but at least they're committing to pay. So anyway, that's it. Unless there's questions.
Thank you, Steve. Any questions of the manager on his report?
Yes. So this is kind of a Carl, but so say if the bids don't come out as well as we'd like for the baler conveyor structure, how much longer is the service life for that? Is there any fear of, are we going to have to accept a proposal for a bid when we don't really want to because of the timeline that we're working with? Or
no, not necessarily. We tried to get a jump on this bid before it was failing. The structure was failing. There's a lot of scale and degradation of the supports, so it's time is, you know, getting short, but it's not going to fail tomorrow. So if we have an issue with bids that are too high, we should be able to regroup. We'll still be okay.
Great.
Any other questions of the manager's report? I guess this is a Carl question, or maybe Steve could answer it too. When is SECON expecting to be done with the paving of South Nordic? I mean, they're starting in the end of next month. They have sidewalks to do yet?
They have a lot of work to do yet, and I can't answer that question for them. They will hopefully be done with all of the paving by right around the first week, second week of July. But
I know it's all weather dependent, but I was just wondering what their time frame was, just curious about the conflict with the salmon season and, you know, the hauling freight and all that stuff. So
right, they've been through that drill a couple times, yeah, with the downtown project and last summer, of course. So it still is part of their contract to allow for container trucking to make it through the project site. So it'll be roughly the same, at least through half of the summer.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Okay, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, unfinished business. We have an ordinance tonight under The only thing under unfinished business, it's ordinance 2016-01. It's an ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2016 budget for known changes. I'll entertain a motion to adopt that ordinance in its third and final reading.
So move.
I'll second.
Been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Logadakis to adopt ordinance 2016-01 in its third reading. Discussion? Just for people listening, this is the third reading of the ordinance that is going to, you know, transfer monies for potential funding of the municipal building, jail project, and paving roads and a few other items. So, no assembly discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, that ordinance passes in its third and final reading, 6-0. So next item on the agenda, new business. First item there is ordinance 2016-02, and this is an ordinance adopting the comprehensive plan dated February 22nd, 2016 for the Petersburg Borough. I'd entertain a motion to pass this ordinance in its first reading.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, then moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Logadakis to adopt ordinance 2016-02. Discussion. And Jay?
Simply put, I think Dave Kinsinger phrased it really well. It is, do I think it's a perfect document? No. I think it's a good blend of a lot of opinions, which means I think most of us have something we're not overly thrilled with, but it's nothing set in stone. It is an outline, and I thank the Planning Commission for the effort they put in, and we'll definitely be voting yes on this.
Any other discussion? Bob?
Just a question on the amendments. There's one of the amendments was is to have a, and I don't find it here real quick in front of me, but to have put the board back together to, from the economic development to look at the fisheries every 5 years, I believe it was. What was the rationale behind that?
Sure. Whoever is the most appropriate one to answer it, I imagine that would be Liz.
That came from the Economic Development Council, and the rationale was that that committee met a few years ago, made a bunch of recommendations, and we thought it would be valuable because it is a blend of commercial fishermen, processors, and other industry types to sort of check in with them periodically and see, you know, how are things going in Petersburg? Are the things that we could do to improve attracting more fishermen here, keeping fishermen here, attracting processors here, keeping processors here? Mostly it's just a check-in and to see what their priorities are, what things we can do to help. That's the rationale.
Was there a reason you didn't go broader? In other words, we have an economy that needs to be broadened out, and we need to be looking at other things. Is there a reason we didn't look across the board at all economic opportunities?
That discussion didn't come up. So there wasn't a reason why we didn't discuss it or didn't broaden it. Like, that wasn't purposeful. But that was just the focus, was the commercial fishing one. We have other, for PDC, we have other small groups as well. We have a small mill group that gets together now and again. So we also have that one already percolating. And as far as other ones, those are kind of the two that I'm aware of.
Thank you.
Is that up, Mark? Any other discussion on the ordinance adopting the comprehensive plan? Seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, ordinance 2016-02 passes in its first reading. The next reading on these ordinances that we've just moved forward will, the second reading, the first, will be the second of the first meetings in March 7th, and that'll also have the public hearing on it. So, time for public comment. More public comment. Next item on the agenda is resolution 2016-05, and this is a resolution of Petersburg Borough establishing the Borough Assembly as the local marijuana regulatory authority. I'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2016-05.
So move.
Second. Okay, it's been moved by Member Strand, seconded by Member Castro to adopt resolution 2016-05. Discussion? When's the deadline on this? Is this, we're just going to temporarily taking this role? Maybe it'll be form a committee if needs be? Or
I can kind of speak to this. You probably won't have to do anything. Yeah. This is basically set up that if somebody applies to the state and does not get an answer in a timely fashion, they then can apply to the local, whoever is this committee is, and to say, hey, will you grant my permit? It's liable not to happen. There's also some talk that you have to have this set up if the borough wants to at some point share in revenue, if in fact the state decides to share revenue. So that, you know, there's a lot of big ifs, but this, there has to be a local regulatory body set up if in fact the state decides to share revenue on this. So we didn't know who else to put, especially at first, other than, yeah, maybe assume if the assembly wants to do this, if you don't, we can find another board, but it seemed to make sense to make the assembly do it.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Doesn't seem like it'll be a very busy endeavor. So any other discussion on resolution 2016-05?
Well, Steve, like you said on this right here too, you know, in it's written very explicitly in the resolution that there's any opportunity to be able to change the different board or committee to act as this in the future, you know, if we just give it a resolution.
Yeah. We tried to do this in a resolution form, so it made it easy on the assembly to, if you guys later decide, oh my God, you're getting buried, you can assign this to another committee or another group. So, thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on this resolution? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk call the roll?
Bob?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Mark?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2016-05 passes unanimously. Next item is resolution 2016-06, a resolution of the Petersburg Borough supporting the appropriate treatment of Alaska's sport and commercial salmon industries through fair allocation of Pacific salmon stocks in the Pacific Salmon Treaty. I'll entertain a motion to adopt resolution 2016-06.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Greger, seconded by Member Lynn to adopt resolution 2016-06. Discussion? This resolution was sent to us by, Deborah Lyons, I believe, from Sitka, and the board. And Mitch Eide called me today, and he's asked for support in this. It's just to make sure that we have fair negotiations during the next treaty negotiations with Canada, basically. So, any other discussion?
I noticed in the resolution that it didn't mention anything about, say, Canada's upstream, you know, actions that may cause issue with us down here in Southeast. And is there any reason that we didn't insert anything with their mining practices and everything within the resolution? Or
I don't know if that would be something we would want to do or not. And just another little conversation I had in Juneau on that. I know this week, Lieutenant Governor Malott, I think the governor's going to be back here too, but Malott's going to try to get a meeting with someone in the Secretary of State, and I don't think it'll be Kerry, but to talk about this issue, wow, the transboundary river issue. So I think it's getting traction. I think that meeting we had in Juneau was on Thursday was good.
Excellent.
Talking with Senator Murkowski's staff. So I don't know if we can, if we'd like to amend this to put it in there. So more discussion on it?
Just a little. I think that the intent of the resolution was just to deal with the allocation question and not with the condition of the transboundary rivers.
Okay.
And so it may be easier to address them as two separate things.
Gotcha. Probably a good point. Heather Hardcastle is going to keep us in the loop like she has been on any change, any information about the transboundary river issues. And if I get information addressed to me, I'll forward it on to the assembly. So is there any more discussion on resolution 2016-06? Clerk, call the roll.
Mark?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Okay, resolution 2016-06 passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda is setting the budget calendar for reviewing the budget that has just been presented to us for the fiscal year 2017. I'll entertain a motion to approve the budget calendar as presented.
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been made by Member Strand, seconded by Member Lynn, to adopt the budget calendar presented to us by the Finance Department for the fiscal year 2017 budget calendar. Just for people listening in the audience, that first reading of the budget ordinance will be March 21st, but prior to that, March 1st, there'll be a budget review and motor pool presentation, and that special session is at 10 a.m. I would imagine all of this will be posted in the regular posting places around the community or within the borough and as well on the website. So, discussion? Just, I guess I could bring it up at this time. I will be probably gone for the first reading of this ordinance, but more than likely I will be back by the second reading April 4th. I'll be herring fishing, so hopefully we're only gone for 2 weeks again this year. That was short and sweet last year. So,
I suppose if we're talking about scheduling, I will add that I have absolutely no clue which of those meetings I'll be a part of, as we'll be expecting a child somewhere in that window, so be a part of what I can. I'll do my best.
Nancy.
I have on my day planner bid open. Is this going to conflict? Do I have the right date?
By May?
Yes, Steve.
The bid opening is probably talking about the potential for this building, and that's been moved at this point a week out. I think we've been... Thank you. The 8th. And I'll keep you all informed. That's liable to be moved to the end of that week as a special meeting if because the contractor asked for a extension. So I think you're off the hook.
Well, I have a class all that week until noon on Friday. Any possibility that we can have the bid opening afternoon?
That is entirely up to the assembly.
We don't necessarily have to be part of the bid opening, correct? But we might have to have a special meeting if it gets pushed back any further to award the bid.
The bid openings will be done in Juneau at the architect's office. We'll be on a conference call here. The assembly doesn't need to be in on that. The bid award, obviously, you do.
Right.
And that's been moved to, I think, the end of that week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Looks like someone in the back wants to have a jump in to say, what's Jody think?
Yeah.
The bid opening for this building is in Juneau.
Correct. Then the bid award is in, didn't I just say that, in Juneau? Mike's not easing ahead. So I must have said something right.
Sorry.
Okay. Yeah, the bid award is in Juneau. Bid opening is in Juneau at the architect's office. We will be in on a conference call. The assembly does not need to attend that. The bid award, we are moving to, was the 10th or the 11th?
Is that an eight-day window?
So correct.
We have to wait after the bid opening. So we have 8 days after the bid's
open.
7 days
we're required. I do it by 8 to make sure that no one can complain.
So, and that'll be well advertised, and it could be a short meeting. It might be a long meeting. Depends on the bid amounts and the public input level.
Meeting the special session on March 1st, I was just going to give a general overview of the budget and point out any changes, significant changes, and then Carl was going to go ahead and do his motor pool presentation. But if there's anything else that you want to talk about with any other groups, I didn't know if, you know, in prior years you've met with community services and other groups, now would be the time, because I'll need to schedule that with them and let them know when they need to be available.
So if there's any assembly members that would like to add discussion with a different department or anybody else that we budget money to, now might be the time to let Jody know, I guess, as you're saying, so
yes,
we can schedule that.
That would be great.
Without any rush. Seeing none, clerk, call the roll.
Eric?
Yes.
Yes.
Nancy?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Jay?
Yes.
Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, we will stick with the dates as close as we can, presented by the Finance Department for the budget calendar discussion. Okay, where are we? Planning Commission comments regarding proposed amendments to the Tongass Land Resource Management Plan. I'd entertain a motion to send a letter, I think is what they're requesting, with their proposed amendments to the Tongass Land and Resource Management Plan. Okay, is there a second? Motion been made by Member Lagadakis, seconded by Member Castro to go along with the request from the Planning Commission. So, discussion. Bob?
I've read that part of that amendment, and I frankly think that the whole thing needs to start over, but that's another issue. You can't run a program on the Tongass on second growth. You cannot be done, in my opinion. But I want to talk specifically to some of the points that were made in this letter. I want to talk about one about export. Export is the folks that are running the Tongass here and who are into business has very limited options under 36 CFR to what can or cannot be exported. And I mean, they are extremely limited. They have no choice to follow it. To make comments that, well, we shouldn't or should, I think is inappropriate there. That's in statute. And so I can't, that part I would have a problem with. Another part I have a problem with is talking about sustained yield on an island basis, like saying that we need to support our own industry here and not worry about anybody else and so forth. I can't go along with that. I think you need to look at a sustained yield from a much longer basis, and the National Forest Management Act establishes that. And I do have concerns about maintaining some local industry and so forth, but putting constraints like this on a land manager out there who has to also deal with not only the second growth and everything else that's come about it, but also natural events like hurricanes or wind throw or so forth, makes it almost impossible with what's being asked here. So I really cannot support this letter from my perspective. I agree with making some changes, but I can't be there because I think it constrains the land manager way too much.
What is the time frame for that? I'm assuming we have a comment period to reply to their plan. What is the deadline for that? Does anybody know? I don't.
Midnight tonight.
Oh, midnight tonight. Oh, okay. Thanks, Dave. Any other comments on the request by the Planning Commission? Cindy?
I made my own comments to the plan, and Bob and I have talked a little bit about this. I have some problems with how the Tongass is trying to deal with shifting to younger growth timber, and that they're proposing cutting trees before culmination of mean annual increment, which is required by the National Forest Management Act, and they're trying to do it through a legislative workaround, an administrative workaround rather, to a legislative problem. So I think that's their first problem. And the second problem is that they mischaracterize young growth. They're counting trees as up to 150 years old as young growth, but USDA Pacific Northwest for Alaska forests considers young growth as up to 80 years. So they need to be consistent with their own science. There are some other issues. I would rather see us go ahead and sign off on the letter because I think it's important to get comments in. I think the flaws don't outweigh the positive of making a comment and showing that the borough has had some input to the forest management process. I've seen some other entities comments, and there are the young growth transition and some of the other characterization of young growth age and some other concerns, some of the renewable resources things seem to be common themes in everybody's responses. So I think we're not going to be too far off base with this letter if we were to go forward and put this letter. I'd be in favor of doing that.
The part I cannot support is trying to do a sustained yield on a smaller island basis. It just cannot work. That's the part I'm not in favor of.
We'll take any other comments on this, and then if you would like to amend their proposed letter, Bob, take one thing out of it or two things out of it, we could go that route too. Any other discussion or comments by the assembly, or we could vote on it just like it is.
Give me a chance to take a look if you want to move on to a.
Why don't we just take a 5-minute break?
Okay.
Does that work? Okay, we will reconvene at shortly after 7 o'clock.
Which letter is that?